if we see that whenever something is recognized, then it is not recognized by its name, but it needs certain qualities or certain characteristics for it to be recognized. There may be a name of that item or person, but if those qualities are not present or are not inherent in that thing, that item, then a person will not accept that I am looking at this object that is being described. This is an asool, a principle or a law, a rule. In other words, let's take honey for example. Now if you take honey, and we take the honey jar, apply the label on the honey jar, and write on that label, this is a certain honey type. Now when will you accept that what the matter that's inside the jar is honey? Not through the name on the label, not through the jar, by looking at the jar, that honey's inside the jar and you're looking at it, you won't accept that it's honey, even though it's called honey. But when will a person accept that what's inside the jar is honey? When the qualities or the characteristics are experienced. For example, I give you a gift of honey and you open that jar or bottle, and in your mind you feel or you want to eat that honey, and you will desire that sweet taste, that delicious taste. I'll put it into my tea, so it will give it the sweet effect. So when you taste the honey, it's salty or bitter, no sweet taste. You'll say straight away, this is not honey. You'll refuse that item. Yeah, will you accept it? You say, no, yaar. You can see the colors right. There's a picture of a honeybee on the label. It's come from Yemen or from the mountains or from a certain area. But you say, no, I don't accept this is honey because it doesn't have the qualities of honey within it. Will it? Of course it won't if it doesn't taste correct. Let's take milk now. Another example. The color is correct. And the texture looks correct, but when you drink it, there's no taste of milk. You say, what you've given to me here? What's this? This isn't milk. This is something else. You've spoiled my tea. You've spoiled my taste. You say, yaar, it's white. It's looking cool and it's flowing like milk. No, I cannot accept it. It doesn't taste like milk. It's not right. So is this not the rule or the principle of the world? Let's take the flower, the rosebud, the rose flower. And we take the name of flower, in our mind will come the thoughts of nice fragrance, nice smell. Then the beautiful, you can say, look of the flower. We say, everyone, oh, my beautiful flower. If there's a rose flower, the eyes are like this, and the cheeks are like this. And for example, a person is describing the beloved that, look, the lips are very soft, just like the petals of the flower. Etc. There are qualities of the flower. There's beauty and there's nice description and texture, etc. So if I give you this description, the first thing you'll take in your hand, the object, if there's no smell, it's smelling horrible, you say, is this a flower? What is this you've given to me? And if it's not looking like a flower, you say, no, this is asal. This is genuine. You say, this is not a flower. So the point that I have said here, and you've understood, and many examples are like this, aren't they? Many examples in the world. So this is the conversation we're having, which is explaining to us that the qualities and characteristics of objects and items, they describe, and Allah says, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, I've created the whole of the universe and the makhluk, creation and creatures. So what about أشرف المخلوقات, the superior form of creation? When they have qualities and characteristics, obviously if the honey and the milk has qualities and the flower has qualities and specific characteristics, then Ashraf al-Makhluq, the superior form of creation that Allah Ta'ala has made and sent, then won't it have great characteristics that it can be recognized from? Of course. Does the Ashraf, the greatest form of creation, have no characteristics unique that it is recognized from? Maybe the person who does hundreds of thousands of prostration and the teacher of angels, and he was thrown down from the heavens and the angels were told to bow to mankind, and Jannah was created and decorated and 100 levels were made and beautiful items were made in paradise for the rewarding for the human beings. So will there not be qualities and characteristics of human beings? When we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will we recognize? Will we be recognized by two eyes and two ears and this is my makhluk? No, Allah ta'ala says that you'll be recognized by what? By your unique characteristics. MashaAllah. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Isn't it? That's it. So now tell me, what are the unique characteristics? If we don't have these characteristics, and if we say the honey, we look at the color and the taste and the texture, we see the honeybee on the label, and now if we reach to the court of Allah, and we go to Allah and thereafter, and we stand there, and Allah says, where's this monkey come from? We say, oh Allah, I'm your ashik, I'm a lover of you, I'm haji sahib, I'm this sahib, I did this action, I did this ibadah. Allah says, I need the sift, the safat. The safat, the characteristics that I put inside you, that were inherent with you. I cannot see one of those. My brothers, this is not a joke. This is not funny. Don't consider this as a laugh. Because this majlis is here for this purpose. I tell you the reality, wallahi, that just a few minutes ago these thoughts came into my mind. Allah Ta'ala put these thoughts into my mind. I didn't read a book, I didn't read a hadith, I didn't do anything. Just 3 minutes ago, 4 minutes ago, Allah Ta'ala allowed me to think something. Because first my islah, I require my islah. My rectification, that's what I'm here for. The 2, 3, 5 brothers, 15 brothers, young and old, who are sitting here listening, who are not listening, I don't know. I have no link with anyone. Yes, that even if one person listens to me, I'll consider Allah, that maybe this individual who's listening to me will be the means for my salvation tomorrow. If it's 100,000 gathering and everyone's playing games and there's a drama, they're coming to enjoy, someone's coming to make food or eat food or to taste food or to get something else in the dunya, or somebody wants a speech and there's 100,000 people, audience, and the next morning they're just playing with the deen, then they've wasted that time. But if there's one person sitting with a pain in the heart that I want to hear one thing that I can do amal on, then both are successful. The speaker and the person who's listening. So don't look around. There are only a few people here. There are many people. He hasn't come. This person hasn't come. This person's not listening. That's why I stated that Allah Ta'ala will give hidayah to whom He wills. Allah will give hidayah to whom He wills. That if Allah Ta'ala gives hidayah to somebody, then Allah gives at this moment in time that the majalis are poor. When the person is speaking to you, he's not reciting a hadith, no Quranic verse, he's not giving da'wah, but inviting you to his ilm, but he's speaking on those points which are according to the Quran and the hadith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I right or am I wrong? Then that gathering is rich. Those who are saying it's wrong, then put your hands up so that I can explain further in detail, because I'm a human being like you. So this is a class, like a class environment. So this word gave me such fikr and worry that tomorrow when I die, when I will stand in the court of Allah. Now here shaitan deceives. Allah says, what does shaitan do now? He says, you don't need to worry about this. He doesn't even let us come on this basis. For example, this is honey and you take the honey and it doesn't taste sweet. Okay, so the thing that's lacking in that honey, if we fulfill that, then what will it become? It will become honey and the value will come back up to a par level. If there's a flower, there's no nice smell in it, no fragrance. And if you instill the fragrance and nice smell in it, then the beauty of the flower will come. Milk that you're about to throw down the drain, if you put the qualities of milk back into that fluid, then it will become milk. There's a man, he's Ashraf al-Makhluqat, superior form of creation. If he hasn't inherent got the qualities and good characteristics of human being, put those characteristics back in, it will become the Sardar, the head of the human being. A good human being, you'll become the head of Jannah, Mahbub of Allah. So we need to think all the time that every moment we should have a concern, a worry, that the qualities that Allah Ta'ala has created within me, that are they lacking within me? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And here, who puts us here? Shaitan. Oh, you prayed Salah. You don't need to worry. You've done good deeds. You've done ibadat, worship actions. You've done dhikr. You're fine. Totally not. Totally. We need to measure ourselves. We need to compare ourselves to those characteristics that should be within us, that Allah Ta'ala has defined. And it would be easy for us to fall down. On the day of Hashr, resurrection, Allah's court will be there, Allah's throne, the mizan, the scales of justice, the angels will be there, witnessing, and Allah will make decisions on what? That I've done Hajj or not? Did I pray Salah or not? No, my brothers. Allah Ta'ala has given us the sifat, the qualities, the great qualities. Did we maintain them? Did we bring them into our lives? And with those, if we go into the qabr, then those people will be the successful people. Those people. And the other hand, on the other hand, that do can I bring those qualities into my life? Characteristics, can I bring them into my life? How can I bring them in? Can I invite them into my life if they're not in my life already? Now we have three things: aqidah, belief, iman. Yes, Jibreel alayhi salam explained to the Prophet alayhi salam, what is our deen? Rasulullah asked and the answers were given. That iman. Yes, our aqidah has come. We believe in Allah and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe in the kitabs, the akhirah, the hereafter. After that come amal, good deeds. Yes, yes. So what was Islam? What is Iman? What is Ihsan? So we have Iman, we have Islam, and then we have the status of Ihsan. The Prophet ﷺ asked, what is Ihsan? And Jibreel ﷺ answered, so Ihsan, 99.9% have left this path of Ihsan. Would you say, oh, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah will forgive. I don't need Ihsan. I don't need this level of Ihsan where I recognize who is Allah and I know what I'm about and I know that inside me are the right qualities. Is this not a great deception that we are living in it? Let's go further. Let's go further. No, 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 yaar. My peer, he's patted my back. He's told me I'm forgiven and I'm with him. I'm his student and I'm forgiven. Is this some point? Look at this here. That what is the real genuine article? The article, the level of Ihsan that I need to as a human being recognize what are my qualities inside me? What are the characteristics of a human being inside me? For example, you define a business. It ran for this many hours. It had this much income. And this was the sale. And this was the stock cost, and this was the profit or loss. There's no man or woman who doesn't sit down in the evening after the day is done and he doesn't account for his sales. How much did I earn? What's the debt on me? How much do I have to pay for the stock? And how much have I got left as profit? No. The next day before the morning, he'll know what sale took place, what stock sold, what stock is left, what stock I need to buy, etc. So are we that stupid now that shaitan and nafs have eliminated our awareness that we don't know what we're about, that I have to reply to Allah tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, I have to give hisab for my deeds, and I consider that I'm free and I'm forgiven and nothing's going to happen, that doesn't matter what I do, the shaitan and nafs don't allow us a second to think that there's something lacking in my qualities and characteristics and I need to fulfill that gap. Allahu Akbar. What a great thought process. That when we see, we go to a majlis, we listen to a wali Allah, a sheikh, we read Quran. And first, it is essential to have the sheikh. The sheikh is in our life for this reason. It's the duty of the sheikh. This is the duty. And the murid, it's fard on him that the sheikh tells him his deficiencies and he understands his deficiencies. And the student should be upfront, first forthcoming. The sheikh, my teacher, this is lacking in my life. These are my deficiencies. And then the sheikh prescribes the formula to fulfill that gap. Not that the student says, I'm fine, I'm perfect. And the sheikh says, yeah, you're the best. That the student and the sheikh should have a connection. That sheikh, my teacher, he is giving me the path to give love of Allah in my heart. Allah Ta'ala says those two individuals, the sheikh and the student, come together to forge a partnership so that they can both get close to Allah. They will be deserving of Jannah because they both are there with fikr and worry. They're looking at their qualities and what's lacking in their qualities so that they can become better human beings. And this is the point that we need to get to. Now, I have to look here, what's lacking in my life? What's defective in my life? What's deficient in my life? And we need to fulfill that deficiency. The mu'min, the believer, Allah says, innal mu'minina wal muslimin wal muslimina wal muslimin wal qanitina wal qanita wal saimina wal saimat. Allah Ta'ala subhanahu has given many darajats, correct qualities of the mu'mineen. In the Quran, in the verses, Allah has defined the qualities and the unique characteristics of a mu'min. A mu'min is this, he is this, he is like this, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And we have just taken what we desire and said that this is a Muslim's life and the rest I don't need to focus on. No, this is a mistake. Maut, death is a dangerous event. Very severe occasion that will take place to all of us, and it's hovering above us, it's waiting and lingering, because we have to return to Allah. It is impossible that we will live in this world forever. Impossible. Our bodies are telling us ourselves that where are we going? Where are we traveling to? What's our manzil? What's our destination? Every way possible, I'm going to die. There's no way I will stay here. I can stay here. Yesterday was childhood, then youth, then middle age, then teenage, then middle age, then old age, and then a person's hobbling, and then death will come. And we've seen in our lives that here, trees, they grow, they are planted, they grow, they become green, then they become brown, and then they shrivel, and then they fall down and decay. And the same way life decays. It expires. I need to look at my safad. What are the qualities and characteristics Allah Ta'ala wants me to bring into my life? Have I got them in my life? What will I be asked in hereafter? Have I got this? Look, I'll explain to you one quality. Characteristic of a human being. It's a very great characteristic of a mu'min. Of a human being. I could explain various hadith. And in the life of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this was a unique characteristic of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was his, you could say, glorious characteristic. The Quran glorify this, demonstrate this, explain this. Allah Ta'ala explained this in the Quran. The hadith were decorated with this great quality of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, also had this, and they exemplified this and demonstrated this to the human beings. So we need to 100% bring this into our lives. 100%, most definitely we need to inculcate this characteristic in our lives. And what was this characteristic, this quality? Me, you, we are all students, alhamdulillah. And we need to see that there are many people who come to this masjid, kitabs are read here, and maulanas come here, scholars come here, jummah, bayans and speeches, we have everything. But the words that I'm about to tell you now, these are unique words, and this is a unique discussion. And this is touching upon something unique for a husband. You know, inside there's something pinching. There's something pulling on us, telling us, demanding that we need you to do this inside us. It's telling us. And obviously, there's a need for all other things we hear when we take part in gatherings. But this is also essential, and we're desperate to learn about this quality and to bring this quality in our lives. May not be that the Quran is thrown back in our faces. May not be that our salah is thrown back in our face. It is essential for us to learn this quality. What was that beautiful quality of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that every mu'min is desperate to bring into his life? This was for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be merciful on the creation of Allah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the greatest quality. One of the greatest qualities of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he was merciful to the makhluk, not just those people. For example, not just human beings. We have birds, we have insects, we have flowers, we have living things around us. We see everything, even this minutest insect creature, ant, everything around us, they eat, they drink, the ant eats, the ant drinks, it has offspring, it has mamulat, it has needs, it has issues, it has a life they live in. They speak, they recite durood, and they do dhikr as well. Everything around us, not just human beings. We think that we are the be all and the end all, and there's nothing else apart from us. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and before him there were other great Nabis, and one great Nabi, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, that the wind is with him, and the birds are with him, and the jinnat are with him, and the winds are with him, and flowing with him. Great status Allah Ta'ala gave to him. And he had such a great status, and compared to him, that can you imagine the value of an ant compared to the great Prophet of Allah alayhi salam? For us, the ant has no power, no status. But if he was the creation of Allah, then even the ant is the creation of Allah. Remember this. Allah Ta'ala has given this example in the Quran, that all of this is happening. And this doesn't just mean that there's the Prophet of Allah and creatures flying with him. It doesn't mean that Allah Ta'ala hasn't created the ant. Allah has created the ant. Allah Ta'ala gives rizq to the ant. The ant is at home. Allah hears the ant. Allah Ta'ala hears the dhikr of the ant. So we think we may waste our dhikr, but the ant will not waste its time. The duty it's been given, it will do its dhikr in the apportioned time. The Quran is describing this to us. Yes? So, mashallah, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam is traveling, and his convoy is traveling with him. We read the Quran, and the ant sees this and says from its heart, "Oh ho, this is Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam and his convoy." And it calls out to the ant, "Save yourselves, and may we not be trampled upon. Be wary and careful." Subhanallah, in the Quran, Subhanallah, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he heard this, he was the Nabi, and he smiled when he heard the voice of the ant say, "Subhanallah." Subhanallah. How Allah Ta'ala created these events to teach us. Not that, oh, what is this ant? And he started to smile, and he forgot his whole convoy, the whole of the human beings and the creatures that were with him, and he turned his attention, alayhi salam, to the ant. Subhanallah. So does the ant not have a status now? And in front of me and you, we don't have any appreciation of human beings. We don't consider human beings as anything. We say that we are mu'min, we are believers. The mu'min, the honey can have characteristics, the flower has qualities, milk has qualities. So tell me, is there no quality or characteristic inherent within a human being? A human being is made with qualities. If he doesn't have the right qualities in life, then he cannot be defined as a human being. He cannot have the rightful claim to be called a mu'min, yeah, or a mu'mina. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you don't? So this is the biggest deception of a human being, when he considers himself or herself, "I'm a mu'min, I'm pious." The Quran tells us that this veil will be removed from in front of our faces, and we will be told that we're human beings. And our hand will tell us that you are not a human being. Your nose will tell you, forget your father and mother and others around you. The organs of your body will say, first, he's a liar, he was not a mu'min. He used to make us do wrong things. Our sifat, the organs will say, the limbs of our body will say, they will say, "Allah, you gave him eyesight. And I am the eyes of this person, but he didn't use me properly. He used to use his eyes for in an evil way, in a wrong way, and utilize the eyesight. He looked at wrong things." Will our eyes not speak? Our hands, our fingers, They'll say, Allah, you gave us a job, a duty with this human being. But he thought that he could use us for sin. Our qualities were good, pious, clean and pure. And you told him to utilize us in the right way. But he utilized us in an evil way, in a negative way. So our safat, the hands and the fingers and the eyes will say, Allah, he wasted us. The mu'min is a collection of qualities, great characteristics, great practices. But if we don't use our bodies correctly, then we have misused and abused our bodies. Yes, so me and you, we need to think here that I am a sinner. You, mashallah, are pious people. I have to look into my life and ask myself that how pious am I? How good am I? I have not mercy on human beings. So how will I be merciful towards human beings? How will I have mercy towards ants or creatures or insects? But the mu'min today, who is a mu'min, say subhanallah. It's not that the mu'mins have disappeared. No. Today there are mu'mins in the world. And there'll be mu'mins in Qiyamah. Not one, but hundreds of thousands, millions. Allah said that they had the right qualities and they had the right characteristics. And these are the people I defined in the Quran that I described, that these are the good people. And today Allah says, look at the status I'll give them. You can look for thawab. You can look at your deeds, but these people wander in the heavens. And how many days have we got this? Some days, some hours, some months or years. So we can attain the right qualities, because we are living our life, we are wasting our time in the world, and we will depart like animals if we don't learn today. Subhanallah, we need to learn. What are we about? So my brothers, the mu'mineen who will be called out, they will be present. They will come from the first day, from the first prophet, from the Holy Prophet ﷺ's time. Mu'mineen are present in the world. And the mu'mineen, the true mu'mineen, you can say the wali Allah, the awliya Allah, they are the walis of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says that these are my friends and they are wali Allah. They are defined as wali Allah. They are in the world. And they are the jamia safat. They have the whole collection of the good qualities. And they try. They know the definition. They do tazkiyah. They rectify, try to improve their lives. And the process of improvement is called tazkiyah. That Allah Ta'ala says that you have to look at yourself in the mirror, recognize what's missing in your life. You say, Allah, I'm missing X, Y, Z. I don't have the right qualities in my life and I need to bring them back into my life so I can do my tazkiyah, rectify myself and improve myself and become a human being. Is it hard or easy? Hands up if you think it's easy. Hands up. Yes, those who understand what I'm saying, put your hands up. Put your hands up. Okay, that's fine. You understand. Maybe one person didn't understand. He will understand eventually, inshallah. Yeah? Okay. So, tazkiyah, the path of rectification, going to a wali Allah, a sheikh, a teacher, learning the rules of life, how to become good human beings, what qualities and characteristics you need to bring back to your life. Allah says, Sai Mashkura, you have now embarked on this journey. Now it's my job to give you back. And so you learn what you need to be and what you aren't doing at the moment. You say, Allah, X, Y, Z, all these things I should be practicing. Allah, I'm missing these. Can you give me these back, Allah? Because I'm trying now. It's your choice. When you call me to your service and gathering, Allah will try my best. I should promise. And then this becomes a new lease of life. I turn the page. I start a new phase of life. Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, rahmatullahi, I remember an event in his life. Let me explain this event to you, a little bit of this event to you. There was a great Sheikh, Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, rahmatullah, may Allah's mercy with him, and he is the head of the walis of Allah. You all know his name. The people in the dunya know about him, have heard about him, have read about him. And one of his habits, regular habits, was that he would go on a journey to Kharqan regularly. And after going there, his muridin, he had many students. When he would reach to that city, then he would stop and he would breathe a deep breath. One of his murids, the student, said, Hazrat, we don't understand this practice of yours, this regular practice of yours that you do, that you take a huge deep breath. Because people do this and then people will ask. So the students didn't understand. The muridin, the students, they were also wali Allah, walis of Allah. And Hazrat, my sheikh, why do you take this deep breath? Whenever you come here, then you breathe deeply and your emotions change when you come to this environment. And Hazrat replied that the point here is that from this environment, in this locality, such a great sheikh will be born, such a sheikh on the haq path, that he will be three times more over and above me, greater than my maqam. That I can smell the fragrance from this earth of the sheikh to come to this area. This is not bad. This is not something negative. That when a rosebud is about to grow from the earth, then you can smell the fragrance from the plant. Mulana Rum rahmatullahi's couplet is based on this, and this is the sift of the rose flower. And when a mu'min is better than hundreds of thousands of flowers, will he not have fragrance from him, and for smelling his fragrance, the angel descend from the heavens. My brothers, we have great qualities within us, great qualities. If we're wasting our time, then we're not better than the flowers, are we? So, subhanAllah, what was the difference here? That this description, he's saying in 300 after Hijri, 300 years after the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When was that Shaykh born? 900 after Hijri, 600 years after. 600 years after, the 600 years before the Shaykh to come, the 300 after Hijri, Hazrat Bayazid Bistami speaking about the Shaykh to come 600 years before him. Alhamdulillah, he was born, and his name was Abul Hasan Kharkani Rahmatullah Ali. And my friend today said to me that you don't speak about the Naqshbandi Silsila, about the Walis of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala made this come into my mind. I said, you are right. What you're saying, the point you've mentioned, yeah, now, maybe you are right. But I only speak about those points that Allah Ta'ala instills into my mind. So this is the answer I gave to him. So totally today Allah Ta'ala has put those words into my mind. The question that he asked me, the thing that's lacking. So from the family of the Naqshbandi Sheikhs, I'm explaining to you about our forefathers. SubhanAllah, I didn't make a preparation for this. This just came into my mind. Allah Ta'ala instilled the thought into my mind. Hazrat Abul Hasan Kharkani, Ramthulay. And he was a great Sheikh. 600 years before him, the Hazrat Bayazid Bistami smelt his fragrance. And he's our grandfather. And on the Day of Judgment, we will stand below his standard, his flag, because we are bayah in his silsila. I have yaqeen on these points, my friends. This is reality, truth. When the veil of death will be lifted, all these sheikhs will come in front of you, that he's my ulad, he's my child, he had a link with me. And they will all come to help us. And how will they come? All the way back to Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. That's why the walis of Allah, the buzurg say, they create a nisbat with the sheikh. Take the hand of a teacher, of a wali of Allah, a woman or a man, keep the nisbat with the sheikh. Yes, that see, that your shajra will come to you after your death. Yes, back to the Holy Prophet, I'm a person who said he's Sayyid, and the chain will go back from your teacher back to his teacher, the sanad, the chain, the authentic chain, back, isn't it? The Sayyids, they go back to us, the Bibi Fatima, radiallahu anha, back to the Holy Prophet, even the way today, a Naqshbandi student goes back to his sheikh, to his sheikh, to his sheikh, back along the chain of the sheikhs to Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. So if a Sayyid can claim that when I go to thereafter, I'm a Sayyid, I'm a blood relative of the Prophet, and the Sayyids will come to, the Ahlul Bayt will come to save me. So the Naqshbandi can say when he dies that all the Naqshbandi sheikhs will come to for his help, to assist him. Alhamdulillah. Ali Murtaza rahmatullah will be there. Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraishi will come to our aid. And Hazrat Mujaddad al-Laftani will come to our aid. And Hazrat Khwaja Masoom rahmatullah will come to our aid. Great sheikhs. And who will be there? Allahu Akbar. There Hazrat Abu Hasan Khurqani rahmatullah will also be there. Hazrat Bayazid Bastami will also be there. For our aid assistance, what have we done? One action. The Allah Ta'ala gave us in the assistance, that nafs and shaitan, we shunned them back. We took the hand of a sheikh who was a Naqshbandi sheikh, who gave us the connection back to Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. SubhanAllah, so a great action indeed. If there's a gathering of hundreds of thousands, oh, I don't know, waspiri, muridi, oh, we don't need to become students, thousands of excuses in their minds and their hearts. But this is the haq path. If you use it wrong, you'll go down the wrong path. But if you use this path right, you'll go down the right path. So you can become a liar sheikh, a liar murid, a liar student. You can do wrong, but the path is haq. If you use it wrong, you're abusing it. If you use it right, you're correctly using it. So in the masjid, if you do music, singing, dancing, it will become a place of fitna. It's the same place. But if you decorate nicely, put a carpet, do adhan, and prostrate to Allah, then it's the house of Allah. You've used it correctly. So everything can be used correctly or abused. So if something's abused, it doesn't make the path wrong. So on Baibus, masjid's made, kharafat's taken out, you do sajda, you do adhan, do sajda, Allah Ta'ala's house, it becomes. So shaitan and jinn, if you take them out from inside you, you become the mu'min, you become the believer, and you do the right actions. So that mashallah, not 600 years after Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani rahmatullahi was born in the area of Khurqan, where Hazrat Bayazid Bistami 600 years before that went and smelt the fragrance. What a great sheikh. Imagine. So this was the dua of Hazrat Bayazid Bistami rahmatullahi. So this was then the effect, the result. So he went to his mazar 900 years, yes, 600 years after, and he said, I won't be bayah with anyone. Hazrat, whatever I want in the dunya from you, I want. SubhanAllah, Allahu Akbar. So 20 years he would attend from Khurqan, he would go to Bastam. Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurqani, 600 years after, would go to Bastam, to the blessed shrine of Hazrat Bayazid Bastami. When he went and stood there and presented himself, made him his sheikh, and when he said, go back, when he was about to depart, then from there, when he started the journey, and subhanAllah, when he recited Fatiha and when he reached to Al-Khurqan, then he became a hafiz of the Qur'an by the time he reached there. SubhanAllah. So famous he became, the fuqaha, the jurists, the greatest scholars within the fuqaha, the ulama ikram, from the muftiyan, he had a higher status than them. So we realize ilm, there are stages of ulum. From somewhere you get the dars, and from somewhere else you get the dars as well. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? Do you understand? Yes. So now, what was his mamul? He became a sheikh. Hazrat Abul Hasan Khurkani rahmatullahi, phase 20 years he would attend the mazar of his sheikh. And he would go and do one dua that Allah, that my Shaykh Hazrat Bayazid Bastami rahmatullahi, that for his sake inside me, please also instill all the safat of that should be within a mu'min. Allah, this was his dua. That Allah, please put into me the characteristics and the qualities of a mu'min. He asked this dua. And the mind cannot even imagine. He had so much other manners that after reciting the dua, when he would go back from Bastam, his Shaykh city, back to Khurkan, he wouldn't turn his back on his Shaykh's city, rather he would go backwards. I don't want to disrespect my sheikhs and my brothers. The doors are not closed. Even today, the line of Piri Muridi, the sheikh and the student, has the same qualities and the principles, the rules that the Prophet of Allah created. Adab, Quran, Salah, Hadith, those principles have not been eliminated and finished. Rather, until Qiyamah, those principles will continue. Not, oh, this was Piri Muridi, this is something else. No, the same principles and laws. The person who has adab, was the ahtaram. For which reason? For lilayat. For the sake of Allah, to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness. Yes, that the person will do the khidmat of his ustad, of his teacher, for the sake of fulfilling the adab, the manners of the teacher, just like the sahaba had the manners for the Prophet, based on the principles of adab for the teacher. The person who has adab will get the good destiny. The person who is disrespectful will have no good destiny and nothing thereafter. So 20 years if he had this maqam, then imagine his own status of Hazrat Abul Hasan Qurqani. What a great sheikh he must have been himself. Do you understand the points I'm making? Okay, come now to the point that I would like to share with you. That martaba, there are many things to share. Great kitab, Shaykh Khurkan rahmatullahi, what a maqam he had. But he was a mu'min. And what did I say? That how does a mu'min become a mu'min? Not from words and exchanges and discussions that we've discussed today. Not from this. We can also see how is a mu'min made? He should have the same safat that Allah Ta'ala has instilled into a true mu'min. That honey will be the honey if it has those qualities that Allah Ta'ala has put into honey. Milk will be money, milk, if it has the qualities Allah has instilled. And the mu'min will be the mu'min if he has the qualities that Allah Ta'ala has defined that the mu'min should. So let's see, what are the qualities that the mu'min should have? How much was he a mu'min? What characteristics did he have within his life? Listen, once Hazrat Abul Hasan Kharkani went to get corn, yeah? And he was on a journey. I'm just speaking about this one sift, one quality. He went, he bought corn, and he gave the money, and he went for miles to buy the corn. In the olden days, to get water, you had to walk miles, 3-4 miles to the well. Yes, so he went on the journey, he got the corn, went back home, and he opened the cloth and saw that there's an ant. And then he closed the cloth. He closed, Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. The Quran, these are words of the Quran I'm telling you. Subhanallah. That same quality that was within the Nabi of Allah, he had the same qualities. And where did they come from? The Hazrat Sulaiman, the Quran tells us that he had the qualities. That the ant has a great maqam. What do we do when we see a bird, we don't think about it, or an ant, and we stamp on it? Astaghfirullah. What haq do you have to stamp on the insect or the ant? He'll walk away. Is he cutting you, giving you taklif or pain? Do you have the right to kill it and throw it away? We are disrespectful with insects and creepy crawlies, or with mosquitoes or flies. So when he, Abul Hasan Khurqani, saw the ant inside the cloth of the corn, he wrapped the cloth back around the corn and put it aside. He recited Durood Sharif, went back. How many miles he went back to the marketplace where he bought the corn? Allahu Akbar. The qualities force a person to do this. The sift, they force a person. And the sift, the qualities, the characteristics of a human being will force you to do the right thing. You'll not be able to go to sleep. If you have the quality of a human being, you've sworn at somebody, you will not be able to sleep until you don't ask for forgiveness. Your eyes will be red. What's happened? Are you sick? Etc. No, he'll say, Ya, that I've broken this person's heart. All night long I cannot sleep unless I ask forgiveness from this person. The first thing you will do is you'll go to the individual and you'll ask for forgiveness. That, forgive me, I swore at you, or I abused you, rebuked you. So when you have this sift in your life, the quality of a mu'min, then you'll do this. But if you don't have the qualities, then you are dead. You are deceased. And in no way will you succeed in the court of Allah. Your salah, your qirat, your sujood will not help. You'll become like a rock, your heart. When the rain falls, it falls on rocks as well. It falls on the soil, on the earth. But when it falls on the soil and earth, it absorbs the water. But rocks, they don't. So the heart of a mu'min can be like a rock, hard. But it can also, the Quran, a person reads, your heart can be like a rock or soil or fertile. But the Quran will affect that person positively whose heart is fertile and soft. So the mu'min, the true mu'min, is that mu'min who has the sift, the qualities. So he closed that sack of corn. He went back to the market, and the market, the seller, he said, is it, Hazrat, you brought back the corn, you didn't like it. He opened the, he put the corn down, and then the ant was there walking around, and he put a little piece of the corn, he made a place, and the ant came out of that sack and went back. He said, Shukar Alhamdulillah. And he said, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. He raised his hands, the tears were coming down his eyes. He said, Alhamdulillah, I'm grateful to you, Allah, that you saved me from a big adhab, that I gave pain to your makhluk. Please forgive me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That's when he went and became Abul Hasan Khurqani Rahmatullah Alayhi. That's when he got the maqams, when he fulfilled the rights of the creatures that Allah Ta'ala has created around us. So let's do dua that the things that we are lacking, and most definitely we are lacking the qualities. Most definitely we're lacking the qualities of a mu'min. May we look at the qualities we are lacking. Let's not become like we are deceased and we're finished. This is the chance we have in our lives, the moments we should look inside our lives. We should analyze ourselves for the sake of Allah, that this is lacking in my life. Aha! Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has promised, Sa'i Mashkura. If we've recognized, then what is the tariqah to bring back the right qualities into our lives? What's the tariqah? That we need to bring about the level of ihsan. How do we do that? We need to run and make a connection with the wali of Allah, a shaykh. Explain to him, shaykh, I'm lacking these things. I've got bad qualities in my life. Not just, Hazrat, I've got bear with you. Okay, I'll run away from you now. Hazrat, tell me, what am I lacking? What are my bad habits, bad qualities? How can I improve? When you start doing this, then whatever situation you depart the world in, Allah Ta'ala will wake you up, make you wake up in the hereafter with the success. But the person who doesn't try, he's not insane, he's foolish. He suppressed himself. If you don't even have recognition that I'm lacking things, I'm not good, I'm not a good person, I should try and go to a pious person, so I tell him that I'm bad, I've got bad qualities, so he give me the cure so I can improve. Even this is a great thing indeed, that he recognizes he's lacking things. And this is, my brothers, tazkiyah, tafsir, the khanqas, going to the walis of Allah, becoming bayah, going to a pious person. There's no other maqsad, objective. May Allah Ta'ala give me success and all of you success. Ameen.